You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of Internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network. Your voice is now heard.
This is The Conscious Caregiver with author and elder care coach, Carol Ann Hamilton. Caring for uncopable aging parents, feeling stressed to the max, then you've come to the right place. Let Carol Ann restore some serenity by giving you concrete and sound solutions for challenging and aging parents. So now, please welcome the host of The Conscious Caregiver, Carol Ann Hamilton.
Back to school. Welcome, everyone. I'm Carol Ann Hamilton, and you are listening to The Conscious Caregiver. We're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, along with iHeartRadio and Apple iTunes. And those regular listeners out there, you know what I'm about to say next about this being the place where you get grounded in some unique solutions that combine the practical and emotional aspects of how to successfully navigate the elder care marathon in a fashion that is unlike the typical content out there. And yes, we have unbelievably reached the second week of September. I wonder, is your head screwed on straight yet? Because I know that during the first week of September, everyone is getting reoriented after summer vacation, and it's like almost no one has the capacity to pay attention to this show or otherwise. You know, isn't that right for many of us? Never mind that, just on an earnest note for a moment, it is for our American friends, in particular, the 18th anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, I always ask for those of you who were around at that time, do you remember where you were? I know precisely where I was, and it was employed in one of my most toxic workplaces ever. I was so off in that project management role that I didn't really even take in the grievous circumstances. I found them sort of a disruption to the bosses. Terrible strictures toward us that we just had to forge on, even though a massive tragedy of inhumane proportions had just occurred. Wow. Let's go back to 2012. And I was barely on the other side of cleaning out 50 years of junk and mess from the parental home, having spent that scorching summer without air conditioning, getting the 1963 house where I grew up ready for sale. And there's more to come on a show that's talking about tackling a mountain of overwhelm next month. But either way, I certainly have my priorities straight today, and I join in on the energy of the day, even while we forge ahead into Carol Ann's top 10 caregiver lessons. And as always, it will be a different slice and dice that answers the typical issues that my coaching clients come to me for, and all within an hour. So it's like we're talking about boiling down 250,000 hours of hard school of knocks lessons into 1 hour of less. Do you think that we can accomplish that feat? Well, everything I've posed in the weeks leading up to today has talked about really getting some free coaching on your most pressing concerns. And that's what we're about here as we dive right into lessons 1 and 2 during this segment. So are you with me? Because here goes the first one. And it's the question, how am I going to survive the craziness, Carol Ann? And I'm going to be quoting a few times from my first elder care book, Coping with Uncopable Parents, Loving Action for Elder Care. And within, there are questions and answers on an impossible parents questionnaire that really summarized what I was experiencing from people at that time. And the pivotal one I want to cite here is, you know, do you ever feel like you have to spend hours psyching yourself up while getting ready to be in your folks' presence? And kind of along with that, one could go your eyeballs feeling like they're rolling into the farthest reaches of your head at the mere thought of them, or the feeling like you want to tear out your hair strand by strand before, during, or after interacting with your uncopable folks. Well, either way, really, my answer to that one distills. Rather than psyching up, can we maybe define readiness as preparation? Because the eyeball rolling could connote a poor me stance, whereas we want a more adult stance, like as conscious caregivers. And just as you're a proactive professional at work, so too I might submit for your dealings with loved ones. I'm all for techniques, of course, borrowed from my Reiki practice, like grounding myself, which I always used to do before any parental interactions. And that included forming an invisible protective bubble around my energy aura. But I'm just saying that if we allow ourselves to be that stressed out at the mere thought of our elders, it can also be an indicator of an old belief system. And at some point, we may need to have an ability to release such tired scripts. So I would suggest maybe reframing and doing things that you know calm you down. For me, it used to be a nice bubble bath soak. And a close second cousin to that first question is, why can't I just tell my parents what to do? Emphasis on the tell. Well, don't we all know it? Because after all, you know in the deepest places of your interior what's called for in their situation, and they'll have none of it. It's kind of like it requires superhuman strength just to persevere and endure through all of their other sort of techniques to throw you off the course, so to speak. And the result is you feel you've attempted every available device known to humankind, and still you feel like you're making zero headway in influencing your elders to see your point of view. Emphasis on your. So what do I say to that? Well, my first answer is don't give up. What might seem impossible to resolve at one point in time can suddenly break through wondrously in another moment. I just have to emphasize my father's earlier obstinacy on the cleaning front. And, you know, they don't say that patience is a heavenly trait for nothing, because on another level, everything on this earth plane unfolds according to what we might call divine timing. And it's like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle where certain elements have to fall in place before others come to fruition. And my father was so stubborn when I tried to help him early on. But once my mother passed away, suddenly he opened up to my cleaning support, indoors and out. However, I've long ago said that, you know, if you believe you're the only one with your answers for parents, well, I'll inquire. And how is that working for you so far? Probably not too well. And that's why you feel almost completely spent physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually after being in their presence. So would you like, before we even take a pause, a distilled further answer to these two questions? And that is in the form of Q-tip. Q-tip. You think a device for cleaning ears, don't you, Carol Ann? Instead, I'm pointing to quit taking it personally strategy. Quit taking it personally. I know that this is not always easy to do, and therein lies the art. However, I would submit that until we can stop taking it on personally, we're not going to make those strides. So stay tuned for more lessons. I'm Carol Ann Hamilton. You're listening to The Conscious Caregiver, and we're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes.
Unleash the obstacles that bind you with certified professional coach Joanne Charette, a master practitioner in energy leadership. Joanne can help you break through personal and professional barriers and guide you to a higher level of empowerment and fulfillment. Passionate and dedicated, Joanne engages with her clients on a mutual journey. Her dynamic energy will motivate you to move forward as you partner on a venture to greater results. Isn't it time to make a breakthrough and commit to live the life you deserve? Invest in yourself and let Joanne Charette be the catalyst to the realization of your dreams by making them a reality. Based in Quebec, Canada, Joanne is also a space coach, using social media and Skype to work with anyone, anywhere around the world. Contact Joanne Charette today at 819-360-3266 or email her at actionrealization@live.ca. 819-360-3266. Now is your time.
Intergenerational programming is uniting America due to the tireless efforts of Dr. Ramona Frischman. Retired from the Miami-Dade County Public School System, Dr. Frischman continues to develop intergenerational learning programs aimed to improve the lives of children, young adults, and seniors through unique strategies and public policy in order to establish a mutually supportive agenda. She views intergenerational programs as a resource for policymakers and the general public on economic, social, and personal initiatives that govern our society. Her work bridges the generational gap, providing many individuals the opportunity to explore areas of common ground and celebrate each other's diversity. Contact Ramona Frischman at ramonalong@aol.com or visit www.gu.org to learn more about intergenerational programming.
Welcome back, everyone, and you are listening to The Conscious Caregiver. We're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton. And so far on today's broadcast that I'm calling Carol Ann's Top 10 Caregiver Lessons in 1 hour or less, we have already encompassed two. One was, how am I going to survive the craziness? And the other was, why can't I just tell my parents what to do? Because after all, you know all of the answers, right? And bottom line, my response was boiled down to Q-tip, quit taking it personally. And so the art in all of that was not to impose your solutions, but instead to listen and open up. And speaking of imposition, I think we slide right next into lesson number three, shall we say, and I'm calling that one, how on earth do I get anything done when everything is an uphill battle? Well, first distinction, there are three types of general behaviors that we can locate amongst human beings. And those are aggressive. I think that that stands to reason. The aggressive, forceful, angry approach. My dad was a master of that one. Passive aggressive, where the person digs in their heels and resists you with all their might. My mother was an expert in that one. And then there's unassertive, which is not to speak up for yourself at all. I have become an expert in that one across my growing up years, but that one is long ago waning away in this decade of life, and instead I am choosing assertive. I suppose there are four types. So assertive examples. Yeah, how do you get stuff done? Through assertiveness and not the others. Well, how about the joint account banking, where it took two trips to the bank to get my dad simply to grant me joint account status so that I could keep operating in his stead? That one involved dealing with his long time, and I mean decades long, bank representatives in order to set up everything behind the scenes. Remember, I didn't say I wasn't clever, to get it all orchestrated. And it still took a lot of doing to get there, but we did. or the car dealership / car insurance examples where I had to go right to the top of the model of my dad's car, one of the big car companies, and deal with headquarters in order to have them stop sending those infernal or eternal brochures that kept tempting my dad to buy a new vehicle once he was already a roadway hazard. He used to salivate like all of us do when we think about a new vehicle and the smell of that leather, but really it was not a good situation. And so if I had have dealt with my father head on for that, it would have never worked. But the waning of those brochures was certainly a success strategy, along with also the long-term care meeting, or the infamous, I suppose, long-term care meeting at the hospital when my dad was already progressively passing away. And an awful social worker, I've got to say, insisted that my husband and I come into a meeting in a small room where she was going to impose that I would have to send my dad out of his hospital bed, even though he was dying, folks, into a facility that could be thousands of miles away. And as much as she huffed and puffed over my insistence, I didn't say aggressive, I said assertive, insistence to have his physician in the room as well, she didn't like it. But we made it happen, and that made all the difference so that she could not foist her nefariousness, for lack of a better term, upon my husband and me, and my dad by extension. Or disconnecting his old TV, 1990s era, folks, and having to go right to the top of the telecommunications giant that owned his, you know, cable TV service. Boy, that was disconcerting, but we got her done. And so what I'm saying is you need to take the bull by the horns, stand up for yourself, because often none of these other agencies will. So there are a few examples that attempt to answer the question, how do I get stuff done when everything is an uphill battle? You take the bull by the horns. Now, that takes a lot of courage and strength, I admit it. So it brings us to lesson 4. So is there anything you can say, Carol Ann, to help me hang in there through all of this? Well, I will declare that you never know when a miracle will reveal itself out of the blue, because even during the worst throes of elder care, you may suddenly find what I call these little miracles that drop into your lap, like, say, a kindness from a stranger, you know, who buys your coffee for you in line ahead of you, or a break with a bureaucratic agency you might normally not think of as terribly helpful. You know, my own bank, same institution as my dad's, has often given me a lot of trouble, or what we call in the Caribbean, bacchanal. But for my dad, who was a longtime customer at his branch, they were great. I am eternally thankful. And these little miracles, I believe, are designed to keep you going and give you hope, bringing me to the notion that joy arrives in small increments at unexpected moments. And I'm just thinking about one of the last days that I was cleaning out the parental home with a team called Extreme Cleaners. Again, I will say some more about that next month. And lo and behold, even I didn't know, in a filing cabinet buried within the reaches of one of my mother's little decorated rooms was a whole box, a treasure trove of early photos of her life in Europe that I did not even know existed. Those have become a priceless treasure. I think that's a great example of joy arriving at unexpected moments. And I challenge all of us, really, to practice the art of gratitude. You know, before, during, and after the elder care nightmare, and I maintained throughout to this day, 20 years later, a journal to denote 5 sources of gratitude each day. And it could have been as simple as a sunrise, because sometimes you just have to look there to find anything to be thankful about when you are in the throes of caregiving. So I hope those answer a couple of the common questions that I have. When we return, we're going to encourage you to remember who accompanies you during this chapter of life and how to deal with parents' endlessly repeated stories. But you can see how each of these topics could be a whole show unto itself, and some of these already have been, but I'm just trying to boil it down for you so that you can go back and re-listen whenever you want and take those furious notes that I know many of you do. So at that point, I think it's a good place to pause, and you are listening to The Conscious Caregiver. We're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. I'm Carol Ann Hamilton.
Did you know that your beliefs create your entire reality, but it's the subconscious beliefs that do most of the creating? Belief shifter and life coach Shiraz can help you identify those limiting beliefs and eliminate them, often in a single session.
Like, it was almost instant, like I had relief right away.
Creating better health, relationships, careers, and finances. Let Shiraz help you step out of safety and into awareness.
Definitely something's happening. It's like a flow inside. You know, it feels good.
Whether in person or online, Shiraz provides personal coaching, belief shifting. Visit Shiraz at energeticmagic.com or call 416-529-7429. Energetic Magic on the BBM Global Network, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Find your greater happiness. Be well. Be aware. Be magical. Tune into It's All About You with host Dr. Martha Latz, a lively weekly broadcast on BBM Global Network, one of the most empowering shows for time-starved, overscheduled multitaskers. The professional expertise of Dr. Latz is directly available live every Thursday at 1 p.m. to answer and address concerns about relationships, life transitions of career, meeting, dating, and committed relationships. It's All About You with Dr. Latz will expand your understanding of current concerns across your relationships by broadening and expanding possible solutions in developing skills for mutually desired outcomes. Dr. Martha's expertise is as a licensed marriage and family therapist, life, transition coach, and all things to do with communication at work, home, and with friends. Check out her website at auniquetherapycenter.com.
Glad you're with us, treasured listeners. We're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and you are listening to The Conscious Caregiver on these top 10 lessons broadcast. And so during our last segment, we were just talking about how on earth do I get anything done when everything seems like an uphill battle? And lesson four answered, what can I suggest to help you hang in there? So hope you got some good strategies there. Once we get to listening to parents' endlessly repeated stories, I definitely hope to reframe that last one by the time we hit our next break. But first, we have lesson number five, and I'm going to urge you to always remember who was or is there and not during this chapter of life or beyond. Because there are four quadrants that I frankly noticed across my 25-year corporate career, and I've been employed in Fortune 500s, smaller entrepreneurial and consulting settings. And so I've noticed in some of the workplaces where they had long-tenured employees, retirement speeches and so on, birthdays, special occasions, you name it, that there were kind of four sets of people, to be honest with you. And the first one is those you expect to be present for you in some fashion, like you're celebrating or, you know, you're retiring or whatever it may be, right? And those folks are there for you, right? Number two, those you expect to be present, but they're not. Number three, those you project to not be present, and they're not. So, yeah, whatever. And number four, those you would never think would come forward, and unbelievably they do. Categories two and four are the most intriguing to me, because obviously number one and three, those who are or are not, and you could figure it out, that's pretty predictable. But the second one, those who didn't come through, that's shocking. And you are being given valuable information, in my view, about whom to include in your inner circles going forward. Whereas that fourth one, you don't think they'll show, but they do. That one is called, for me, unexpected gifts from others, and possibly the most delightful of all. No matter what, to get through this chapter, I hope you can give yourself permission to experience kindness and understanding, because boy, if there was ever a time when you ought to allow yourself 100% birth to experience extreme self-care, yeah, remember that consistent topic? This is the one, because you're going to be contending with all manner of feelings, and no one else around you may allow you free rein to your sentiments. I say, who cares? You need to grant this to yourself, because I will tell you something. Even 7 years since my father's passing on August 26, it is not unusual for me to spend a very retreated 24 hours. And I don't frankly care if there are some who critically believe, well, you know, you ought to be over that date by now, Carol Ann. Fine. I'm just saying, this does not negate my deservingness of gentleness. So that's what I say about number five. Now, number six, how do I withstand my parents' endlessly repeated stories? Because again, you're feeling like you're grinding your teeth, wanting to clamp down on what you really want to say. And, you know, this one especially regards enduring hours-long diatribes, often having nothing to do with the immediate subject matter at hand. And while meantime, you're waiting to make key points with one or both folks. My husband Derek once coined a bang-on phrase, and it was for my dad. And my father would start one of his stories by saying, "Did I tell you? Dot, dot, dot." You can fill in the blank on whatever story. And we go, "Yeah, we've already heard that one," but he'd ignore us totally, and he'd go, "Well, anyway," and you can hear how much I'm hooting all this time later, because it's when we're, you know, both subjected to a story for the zillionth time and want to scream, especially when he rarely asked. You know, we just kind of went, "Okay, let's just march right on, Pa," because you see, without his story, the man had no identity. He needed to endlessly recite his glory days as a means of drawing life force often. And so we shut him out, kind of, you know, and let him drone on. But I tell you something I want to add here. Years later, really, I'm talking about a few weeks ago only, that now I wished I actually had more from both parents of their stories. I've cited many here, and they are the poignant memories that I carry forward for the rest of my decades on planet Earth. And especially from my mother, I would have dearly loved to have more stories of her experiences in Europe during World War II. She gifted me at the age of 34 a wonderful handmade booklet. And I'm going to tell you something. It took me literally decades to open up that birthday gift and actually read it. Yes, I'm going to admit, I didn't so much care, but now I do. And it was a series of evenings that I read it across out on my terrace during, you know, Toronto's hot summer. And that was just unbelievable, what I learned about her early growing up life. And why I say I wished I knew more about her World War II experience is because, you know, that's an important part of history and my parents' history, both of them having been born in 1920 and 1922, that the world ought to never really forget, apart from our annual observances in Canada and the United States on November the 11th and so on. So I'm just saying the power of story. And I have actually done a couple of shows on just that. One was called The Strength to Be Vulnerable, or The Pain Behind My Facade and How Shame Turned into Success. So what I'm saying with all of us is that it's so important that you do listen to their endlessly repeated stories, because you may learn something about your elders that really informs and characterizes who and how and why you have become the person that you are. So as much as it is frustrating to the hilt to listen, I have really reframed that one for myself, and I encourage all of you to do so as well. So we've just done lesson 6, and we're right bang on for our next pause. So we're coming to you live from the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. I'm Carol Ann Hamilton, and you are listening to The Conscious Caregiver.
For over 50 years, Evelyn Stapula has been a loving advocate for people with disabilities throughout the state of Pennsylvania. President and founder of Big Heart Bridges, her organization actively campaigns for legislation and support of civil liberties that meet the needs of disabled individuals with housing, transportation, and employment. Ms. Stapula has joined forces with a variety of esteemed organizations that advocate for the disabled. She serves on the board of the United Cerebral Palsy of Pittsburgh and the Governor's Cabinet and Advisory Committee for People with Disabilities, and she is a consultant for the Pennsylvania Governor's Conference for Women. Her many efforts have led to the implementation of a transportation program for the disabled with the Access Paratransit System of Allegheny County. Evelyn Stapula strives daily to serve the interests of the disabled, to protect their freedoms, and enable them to live normal public lifestyles. To learn more, please call 412-491-2605 or email Evelyn at ers92645@verizon.net.
Mike Zorich, a 3-time California state champion in Greco-Roman wrestling at 114 pounds. Mike, blind since birth, was born in Hartford, Connecticut. He was a 6-time national placer, including 2 seconds, 2/3, and 2/4. He also won the Veterans Folkstyle Wrestling twice at 152 pounds. In all these tournaments, he was the only blind competitor. Nancy Zorich, a creative spirit whose talents have taken her to the stage and into galleries and exhibitions in several states. Her father, a commercial artist who shared his instruments with his daughter and helped her fine-tune her natural abilities, influenced her decision to follow in his footsteps. Ms. Zorich has enjoyed a fruitful career doing what she loves. Listen Saturday mornings at 12 Eastern for the Nancy and Mike Show for heartwarming stories and interesting talk on the BBM Global Network.
So thanks for staying with us, everyone. I really appreciate you, because the opportunity to serve beleaguered caregivers inspires me to do what I do. All of it truly is for you. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton. This is the Conscious Caregiver Show, and we're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. So within our top 10 lessons for caregivers, here come another thought-provoking several. First is in the form of, so why should I bother to see things through with aplomb? I hope that title intrigues you. And lesson 8 is another one of those very common queries posed by my coaching clients. Carol Ann, why are things still not better now that one or both parents have passed away? And remember, we're talking uncopable elders, just so that we're on the same page here. We're not talking about the easy breezy cooperative ones. We're talking about the ones that can be stubborn to the hilt, just so that we recalibrate. And on that basis, I've asked each question more than once of myself, but there are contained within some myths that I intend to disabuse you of. So I hope you're ready. Yeah, why should I bother to see things through with aplomb? Well, here's a pointed one. How you comport yourself during the final parental chapter speaks volumes about who you really are. I will tell you something. Many in my circles face maternal or paternal transitions or both. And such is the lot of baby boomers whose folks, like mine, are born in the 1920s and 1930s. They're the ones especially leaving this dimension rapidly. And I notice how some handle the process with aplomb, others lack dignity and fully show their narcissism. Did I just say that out loud? Yes, I did. The latter is unbecoming to the hilt, because either way, the tale will be told upon the daughter or son who does not find the courage, strength, and grace to enact those final hours with dignity. And this is going to come up anew closer to the end of this year when I do a show called Coping with Uncopable Siblings. So get set. But I'm going to quote from my other elder care book, Coping with Uncopable Systems, Advocacy for Elder Care, one of my favorite all-time remarks. And it comes from Theodore Roosevelt's speech called Citizenship in a Republic, sometimes referred to as the Man in the Arena. It was delivered at the Sorbonne in Paris, France, on April the 23rd, 1910. Imagine. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short time and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great deprivations, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. Okay, so what the heck does that have to do with caregiving? And you can hear the vocal nature of my commentary. I know I'm really strong on this, folks, because there are still some lessons coming up, but I will say that it is a darn good thing that no matter what the foibles I experienced growing up with both my parents, that I can look myself in the mirror as the woman in the arena and say, I did everything in my level power to see my mother and my father through. And I can still see myself delivering each eulogy in different ways for different reasons, but each did receive that proper accord. And that is what allows me to this day to stand in front and with all of you and be able to say, yes, I saw it through with aplomb. I really can't say more, except if there is a show that you want to listen to in the archives here. There is one called Caregiving as a Healing Opportunity, and it's with a parent coach, and it might just be kind of interesting if you chose to go to it. Right now, though, we still have lesson 8, and it's to ask, so why are things still not better now that one or both parents have passed away? I think drawing on some of that change management background that I have, we can make healing very much akin to one model, which is called freeze, unfreeze, and refreeze. And if I may be permitted some adaptation, it's kind of like one freezes in a state of survival to cope with uncopable parental disasters. Then when the trauma is over, one slowly comes out of almost hibernation into what we will call unfreezing. But well before, when even, you know, considers refreezing into a new state, there is a painful process of confronting all those stored emotions. They did not go anywhere. They are waiting for you to face them when ready. That purely takes time. And that's why I said the importance about seeing things through with aplomb. So matter how much you call it, you could say freeze, you know, freeze, unfreeze, refreeze, or you could use my terminology of my journey from desperation to inspiration to hope. Either way, all roads lead to elder care being a process with stages and it's not a mentality that North Americans are fans of because of this pressing need to constantly get her done. Now, just pause right there, everybody. Stay with us. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and this is the Conscious Caregivers Show.
Psychologist, master certified coach, and CEO of the executive and organizational development firm True North Leadership, Dr. Relly Nadler brings his expertise in emotional intelligence to keynotes, consulting, coaching, and training. He is the author of Leader's Playbook and Leading with Emotional Intelligence that lays out tips and tools for effective leadership. Dr. Nadler has designed multi-day executive boot camps for high achievers in Fortune 500 companies and has coached CEOs, presidents, and their staff, and developed and delivered innovative leadership programs for such organizations as Anheuser-Busch, BMW, MCI, EDS, DreamWorks Animation, the U.S. Navy, and Vanguard Health Systems. To learn more and get your free iPhone app highlighting his tools with videos, leadership keys, visit www.truenorthleadership.com today. Dr. Rob Moyer is the director of the Ocean River Institute, and he is passionate about saving the ocean by helping dolphins suffering from nitrogen pollution. Nitrogen is a dangerous pollutant, affecting our oceans, altering ocean ecosystems, and contributing to global warming. The Ocean River Institute provides opportunities to make a difference and encourages people to go the distance for savvy stewardship of a greater and bluer planet Earth. Partnered with organizations from Massachusetts to Florida, Alaska to the Caribbean, the Ocean River Institute's mission is to foster involvement in conservation and environmental monitoring by facilitating grassroots efforts at local and regional levels.
Hello, I'm Rob Moyer of the Ocean River Institute. Please visit our website at oceanriver.org. Sign up for free e-alerts. You may call us at 617-661-6647. Our email address is info@oceanriver.org. Become informed and then act with us. Thank you.
Indeed, everyone, we are starting to come down the home stretch today, and this is the Conscious Caregiver Show. We're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and we were just looking at why should I bother to see things through with aplomb, and I think you heard and felt my desperate plea as to why. And why are things still not better now that both or one parent at least has passed away? And these are challenging lessons, I know. Number 9 is going to be equally so, as well as number 10. So if you're prepared for them, here we go. Lesson 9. What was I supposed to learn again? And I've put supposed in quotation marks, because for that answer, we kind of need to go right back to the beginning. Now, this is a theory I ascribe to, but you don't have to agree by any stretch. Though some of my most injured guests have also agreed with it. And it's the notion that we chose our parents on some level, as excruciating as that can be for many folks who have suffered abuse, especially. But either way, I could name you the lessons that I have learned, and maybe that will be, you know, what did I actually learn from my parents? Now that I'm thinking it out loud, that might be a good show too for later. Either way, I am still going to give you the permission that others don't to feel relief. Did I say relief? Over the passing of an excruciating parent. And the statements that I'm about to extract from derive from a series of blogs that I composed at the first anniversary of my father's passing. They are very reflective of the time of how I felt, kind of when, as the bona fide child of recalcitrant elders, I was, you know, frankly relieved that I didn't have certain things to contend with. Now, of course, I felt sorrow, and more so today than I did at the time, over their loss. But there is also a sense of lament over what could have been, you know, during my growing up in adult years, because I was thankful for these shifts from one year to the next. There was no more mounting daily parental crises of all sorts. No more having problem after problem dumped squarely upon my doorstep, as if I didn't have serious issues of my own to deal with. No more of the increasing belligerence as my father's physical strength and capability to handle daily tasks exponentially diminished. No more the many instances of frustration and helplessness caused by my father's outright refusal toward either in-home services or moving into an assisted care facility, which forced me, as his only child, especially when things could have turned out differently, had he only listened. And I had to deal with the consequences because he refused to hear but a fraction of what I was saying to him. See how I learned that you can't tell them anything. And very movingly, there was for me no more the horror of seeing my once vital dad slide into a vegetative state, you know, while I was feeling forced to stand bravely by his hospital bed. And certainly sad for me, no doubt, was no more the sorrow of witnessing how severely downhill had gone the property, indoors and out, compared to my growing up years, when both my mother and my father displayed such pride of ownership. So, you know, there were a lot of weighty burdens foisted upon me, and it was grueling. So I do admit to having relief. Now, lesson 10. Do ever things return to normal, quote unquote? Again, I will say that recovery is a piecemeal process. They, you know, like society, they actually believe that once an elder is buried, it's over. Not, I can tell you that. Certainly by the time you put up their house for sale, that should be the beginning of the end. Not. Once you come to the last day of the year in which your mother or father died, that ought to be the marker of completion. Not. They insist that, you know, you should just get on with it and be over the trauma. And I'm saying to you, there's no one magical end to it, much as judgmental others would have it be so. Because I'm going to use my famous love of baseball and Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. And I might remark, society is very simplistic in this regard, because they are, I guess they get disbelieving. Well, what's your problem? They expect to accord you a very brief mourning period in keeping with all those limiting belief systems. And after that, you should be perfectly all right, no matter how racking your particular reality is. I know I'm drumming on this, but it's important, because I'm here to say that the processes of grieving, of coming to terms, of completion, are so individualistic as to defy time-based categorization. And by the way, you ought to expect what are called anniversary reactions. I just have to think back to my therapy days over 30 years ago. And I love what one of Jack's main themes was at the time, that we should prepare for all manner of feelings on significant occasions, dramatic and otherwise. And that scenario may have been a positive or a negative one. It doesn't really matter. What we need to do is brace for the range of emotions. And when we do, there's actually a show that happened earlier this spring called Living with Regret. I think when we master these 10 lessons, and it's, again, it's a journey, it's a process, it's a not a one-time thing by any stretch. I'm still working with them as we speak, but the outcome is living without regret. And so what else do I want to say to you on that notion? Oh, yes. A coaching client just the other day was saying to me, yeah, Caroline, I want to work on my life coaching parts, because even though I'm seeing growing signs of decline with my dad and my mom's kind of making me a little bit crazy, I've got that handled because I've been to therapy. And, you know, so I understand what that's all about. My answer, great. We'll work on whatever you want to. However, make no mistake that this chapter of life is going to rise to smack right in your face all the unresolved dynamics that you experience with both parents, and you thought those were long ago buried or healed? Well, I challenge you to something. You just see how you navigate it and what it brings up for you in terms of old beliefs returning you to childhood feelings, et cetera, and then tell me how you're navigating it, right? Stay tuned. I have more to say about that. This is the Conscious Caregiver Show, and we're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton.
Joseph A. Moylan is the owner of Ion Health, which specializes in very unique medical devices. Ion Health offers biomats, Alkalife, and frequency machines. Biomats are a far infrared and negative ion emitting FDA-approved medical device. With many different sizes available, you can place them on your bed, on a massage table, or on a seat in your car. It is an unobtrusive way to health. Alkalife machines are water ionizers that cleanse and raise the alkalinity of your tap water, making high alkaline water. Frequency machines utilize certain frequencies to kill viruses and bacteria. These devices are safe and effective. Coming from a health-conscious background and studying physiology at the Academy of Natural Health, Joseph A. Moylan has 15 years of experience in the health field and wants to help you live a healthy, long life. Visit www.ionhealthbiomats.weebly.com or call 765-520-2988. Don't let your health go astray. Get in touch today.
My Dreams, My Challenges, and Joys is an inspiring book by author Linda Genazzo. This real-life account of raising a child with autism from birth to adulthood takes you on a journey of compassion, love, and hope as it tells the incredible story of a devoted family and their beloved daughter. Together, they faced adversity and never stopped believing they would find the help they were seeking. A breast cancer survivor, Linda Genazzo has a giving heart. With a background in social work with the mentally ill and the homeless, Linda continues to help families in her community. And her book, My Dreams, My Challenges and Joys, brings greater awareness to autism and those families in need. To purchase your copy, visit www.lindagenazzo.com. It's also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Don't delay. Get your copy today.
Okay. Are y'all hanging in there for 250,000 hours of lived experience in 1 hour or less? We are on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and this is The Conscious Caregiver. Yes, indeed, we have covered a lot of ground today. And that's why you will find that having access to the archives of this show is going to be very helpful. You can find those at boldbravemedia.com/shows/the-conscious-caregiver. And we can be located under self-help or health categories. And so we've consolidated too a lot of rich insights, I hope. Really, if we just review the lessons of today, starting at number one, how am I going to survive the craziness, Carol Ann? Number two, why can't I just tell my parents what to do? Q-tip, quit taking it personally and see how far you get if you try to tell them anything. How about listening and getting clever to use some of those out-of-the-box solutions that I suggested in lesson three, which was on how on earth do I get anything done when everything is an uphill battle? And I suggested the distinctions between aggressive, passive-aggressive, unassertive, and assertive actions like establishing joint account banking, avoiding, frankly, long-term care when it was going to be an absolutely devastating experience. My dad, by the way, passed away 1 week after that proverbial hospital meeting. So I asked the social worker who knew sort of more what was going on there. Anyways, let's move on to lesson four. And you asked, what can you say to help me hang in there? And I answered that there may well be some small miracles that drop in at your doorstep that help to keep you going, and to look for those by way of your gratitude practices. Always remember in lesson five who was there and who was not for you, especially the ones you didn't think would be and were, and those who, you know, you thought that they'd be there, but they weren't. Very, very telling about who to keep in your inner circles. Lesson seven. So why should I bother to see things through with aplomb? Because it's the decency and the dignity that will stand you in good stead when your folks pass away and you can look yourself courageously in the mirror of truth to make sure that you handle things with utmost class. Lesson eight. And why are things still not better now that both or one parent has passed away? Because the whole thing is a process. It's not a one-time event. It takes time, like my journey from desperation to inspiration to hope. And you should expect anniversary reactions on key dates and so on. So give yourself a little bit of a breather there. Now on lesson nine, what was I supposed to learn? Well, that was who your parents formed into the you that you are today, no matter how tough your upbringing. So if you looked from that place, what might you learn? Just leave you there. And lesson 10, do things ever return to normal? Well, what's normal? Is it society's expectations or is it your reality? On the heels of today, I hope you will go to my website for a confidential readiness session, but you know I always like to sign off by saying, you've been strong too long. How about you dare to care with flair? We're on the BBM Global Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes. I'm your host, Carol Ann Hamilton, and this is the Conscious Caregiver Show.
You've been listening to The Conscious Caregiver with host Carol Ann Hamilton. For a fresh and unique approach to modern caregiving, listen to gain a weekly dose of inspiration and down-to-earth advice right here on The Conscious Caregiver with Carol Ann Hamilton.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.
The 20 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca. The 2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.